The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up in town, bro.
Good evening, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Telephone numbers to Guardian Radio are 323-6232-325-4316-542-59. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scrooge, Scroogey. And I'm going to be your host today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And you can go online at 969 FM, and you can listen to this broadcast live radio. And it's a pleasure again to be your host on this wonderful Friday. I hope everyone out there is doing well. Even if you're not doing so well, try your best to try and enjoy your day, you know, because it's Friday. I want to thank all the listeners. Man, it's amazing that when I travel around the country, how many people just give you a word of good advice. I want to say to each and every one of you who I've met, the Chinese, the barber shops, or walking along streets or on Bay Street or in the inner city community, I want to say thank you to all of you guys. You continue to make me push, you know, and I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you guys for tuning in to this particular show and to those who are tuning in to Guardian Radio. Because the whole objective of this show, y'all, is to talk about the life of the inner city residents, how to improve their lives, what are the problems, how can we solve these problems, and what kind of problem solvers we can put in place to make this mechanism work to the benefit of the Bahamian people. And that's all I'm here to do on this show. And that's all I'm doing for the rest of my life. I've been doing it for over 25 years, trying to find solutions. Many of them have been legislated in Parliament, working with people in political on the PLP, and over the course of administrations coming in, coming out. It's a slow process, but it's a process nonetheless that is making strides. On today's topic, we're going to talk about what the Honorable Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, said a few days ago. He was talking about prevention or persecution. And I guess I'd read a little on it, in a minute or two. And like I say, I want to say thank you to everyone that just give me a word of good advice. I really appreciate it. Okay. And the Prime Minister's goal, number one goal now, is to prevent crime instead of persecution, you know, because these two go hands in and hands out. Because if we don't start thinking about preventative measures and just about persecution, it's just a band-aid on a very, very deep cut or wound that may never heal, all right? And let me just read what the Prime Minister is referring to. This is an edition of the Tribune. And I also like the the direction the Nassau Guardian is taking on the way how they talk about serious crimes in the country, because they've been doing a very fantastic job of giving us updates on the crime level in the country. So I want to congratulate the Guardian Radio for really, really to read the newspaper to find out what's happening in the country. All right, like I say, I need some glasses. All right, all right. Prime Minister Philip Rabe Davis has described alarming this year, current rise in cases of murder. It was Tuesday, Police Commissioner Clayton Fernando revealed homicides were up by 21% when compared to 2021 of last year. He also said there was a rise of 49% in armed robberies compared so far this year. In response, Mr. Davis said his administration planned to tackle escalating violence by placing more focus on crime prevention rather than detection. We don't embrace it, and we will do all that we can to try to reverse that trend, Mr. Davis told reporters. And we must start not from after the murders would have taken place, but we're going to put more emphasis in prevention rather than detecting, because we think that if we work to identify the root cause of challenges our young people face. Okay. I want to read something again, and we're going to start the conversation on this. Focus on crime prevention rather than detection. We don't embrace it, and we will do all that we can to try to reverse that trend. We must start from after the murders would have taken place, but we are going to put more emphasis in prevention rather than detecting, because we think that if we work to identify the root cause of challenges of young people, he's referring to the young people, are you talking both female and male, okay? So when we're saying here, and we start our focus after the murders. So he's referring to the fact that after murders occur, the police force start to investigate the matter and try to bring a closure to the matter. So that is after the fight starts or the altercation. That's after the fact that an illegal firearm is used to take somebody's life or to harm somebody. So the police comes after that. Now, we've been doing that for the last 40, 45 years, probably 50 years, okay, with increasing crime from roughly the 80s and 90s, where we saw an increase in violent crime, rape, armed robbery, attempted murder, assault, sexual abuse, early 90s. It was crazy in the 90s. And we react by creating a police force to tackle these issues. And these issues cannot be solved by the Royal Bahamas Police Force, because most of these issues are with the persons involved. We might not know it, but a lot of people have a lot of mental health issues in this country. Okay, some are traumatized by losing their loved ones, living in these inner-city communities over the years, where some people have lost, they've lost their mother, you know, killed from enemies or some type of gang violence or some kind of drug deal going bad. You know, we have people living in this country, you know, in the Fox Hill and Grandstand community, where sisters and brothers are being killed. And, you know, the sad thing about it is many people are still going through this traumatization going on in our country. And it's all over, you know, because we have had like 100 plus murders. And this has affected people in so many different ways. that people tend to respond differently. And we tend to curve this violent behavior or increasing crime by equipping the Ministry of National Security with the funds that is needed, and then it's transferred to the Royal Bahamas Police Force to get the latest technologies. We're talking about police cars, some costing over $20,000 to $30,000, probably $40,000. Talking about the latest firearms, talking about bulletproof vests. You know, there's insurance for the police. And their job is to go there and to bring criminals to justice. While it is necessary at the timing, because we can't have people running rampant in the country who are murderers and rapers and abusers and sexual abusers running loose in the country. So definitely we need the police force for that. But the preventative measure that we're going to have to try and implement is getting ahead of the problem. And the Prime Minister is saying now that we have to understand what the problem is. I've been explaining what the problem is from sense to speak for the things that I experienced and the things that I saw thousands and thousands of other young men and females went through and what bring them to this stage. And I repeat it over and over and over. We had a problem back in the early 80s. We had an alcohol problem. We even had a program for alcohol, the alcohol problem we had in the country. We call it Alcohol Anonymous. I want people to remember this. The youngsters wouldn't know this. But we had an alcohol problem before we even had a cocaine problem. All right? So we had an alcohol problem. So we had a program called Alcohol Anonymous, and it used to come on the news and on TV because we had a lot of persons drinking themselves to death. And the rum of choice around that time was Bacardi, vodka, gin, you know, and et cetera, and Methuselah, and et cetera. And then we had a serious rum problem, and that also destroyed the family structure. Then combined that with the cocaine came in, Quaalo, and you know some pills coming in, but and needles like heroin. But Bahamians hate needles, so the heroin couldn't work in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. So our drug of choice was crack cocaine or powder or marijuana. So you have two main drugs. Now today we have a lot of pills, ecstasy, et cetera, combined with a decrease in the powder usage and the crack cocaine usage in the country. And most drug of choice now is marijuana. And then a lot of new pills that are a lot of youngsters are using today. All right? So yes. And combined it with the cocaine. And when the cocaine period came in, this was devastating to the country. This destabilized the country, country family structure. This destroyed the uncles. This destroyed the aunts. This destroyed the grandmothers and the mom. The cocaine just took everything away from us. Bahamas, when it comes to the family structure, where you had aunties who would look out for you when your mom wouldn't look out for you, or your daddy didn't look out for you, your uncle would have been there for you. Even your godmother would have adopted you and made you her own. You know, we had a caring family structure back in the 70s and 80s. You know, a strong family structure, set up in the right way, okay? And then with that, we need to understand that once people were on cocaine and on alcohol, and you're living in these communities where there's no development, and everyone is just doing their own thing, just young people doing their own thing. Let me use my parents for example. There was no planning for me. You know, I'm a raw born Bahamian. So what I'm going to say is a representation of thousands of Bahamians living in the country. For me, my parents never planned for me, you know, because it includes partying, drinking, going out to clubs, you know, having sex which you did not plan for me. And in doing so, you didn't have no plans, no future set up. It was just a thing where it was feelings, and then we get love mixed up, and I was made. And when I was made, you know, like I said, there was no planning. My mom was on drugs. I don't know if my father was on drugs, but I could say he probably would have been on drugs. He ended up making some wrong decision. He ended up in prison serving lifetime. He was released about 15 years ago. My mom, she was not, at that particular time, someone you would call a mother to a child. You know what I mean? She was not a mother to me. She was just like someone I knew. My mom, to me, was my grandmother and my auntie and my uncle. You know, I would see my mom on the streets just doing her thing, you know? And she would just call my name and she'd go about her business. And I would see her do some things in my eyes that I asked my grammy what my mother is be doing. She said, your mom is just doing drugs. She's out there hitting coke. She's out there in the nightclubs late at night. She don't want to change her pampas. So I take her from you. And that's why I had a better relationship with my mom. And not to be disrespectful to my mom, because she turned around her life and she became a Christian and she changed her life. And we had a great relationship in a time frame before she passed away. My father is out of prison now. You know, it's hard for me. You know, I see him. I understand his mistake that he made. You know, but at the same time, you know, I was left out here, you know, without a mother and father, so for someone to push me. And so there can't be no love between me and him. You know, it's just a mutual respect, as I understand him as my father. He could be listening right now, and this is no disrespect to him, you know, because he normally listens to the show. It's just, this is reality. So you have to build a relationship with a bond with your child. You know, not because someone is made or conceived, that don't mean that's the child father or that's the child mother. It takes time, it takes effort, you know, it takes talking, it takes tutoring, it takes, you know, whatever it takes that the child feel that they can depend on you and say mom and say dad. You know, that's missing in our country. You know, so it was not only me, you know, and many of our moms and fathers were on drugs. I can remember the crack lines to Lewis Street from one end of this drug dealer. I don't want to call his name. And I used to go to Mr. Morris, which was to Comfort Street. And I used to live on Lewis Street. And I thought the line of people I saw on the road was actually the grocery store line. But Mr. Morris is around the corner. But this is the line where my mom was on the line, along with a lot of my friends' mom and fathers and uncles and cousins on this line. And this line was from this back gate on Lewis Street. Straight people lying up after one another. All kind of parents and aunties and uncles, you know, and all of them were lying up. And I knew what they were doing because I knew the guy who was there. He was a big-time drug dealer. He's one of the first drug dealers in the country. And he's selling crack cocaine and marijuana. But his money, the way he make money was crack cocaine. And anyone listening to me know exactly what I'm talking about, who lived in the Grandstown community, Lewis Creek. And this was just lying to people buying crack cocaine. You know, my mom included, my cousins included. You know, just long lines of people. And this is what it was that destroyed many of our lives. If you listen to Sweet Emily when she was on the show, she talked about her experience in Harlem. You know, our Sweet Emily. She has a similar story, similar to what I'm talking about. So as great as Sweet Emily is, you know, she was on the show a few months ago, and she talked about her experience. And her experience was similar. She talked about the drug academic that basically destroyed our family structure in this country. So that's the problem. You know, so if the prime minister is looking for the rule crime, it goes back in the early 70s and 80s, and it's affecting us now with the family structure not in place. And then you're going to have to deal with the prison. Because if you're not dealing with the prison, It's not a rehabilitation place. Guys are going to go to prison, and they're going to come back in these inner-city communities. We're going to be going through the cycle over and over and over. All right? So, Roy just was talking about that a little bit. Oh. Yeah. So, in the Nassau Guardian, we have your most murder victims were out on bail. Murder climb by 21, like so far in 2022. So let me read it out of the Nassau Guardian. It states here, murders were up 21% so far in 2022 compared to the last period last year. Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernando reported 10 people. More than half of the 85 people killed so far this year. So 85 persons have been killed so far this year. 55% were on bail, Fernanda said. You could see over the past week a number of young men being killed just after they were released on bail, said Fernanda, who was a guest speaker at the Rotary Club of Nassau at the Nassau Yacht Club. This is a concern for us, and it is being addressed as we speak. Fernanda said many of the men who were killed were on bail for murder, armed robbery, and other serious crime. Shortly after they are released from prison, they are dead. He said, based on our internal report, we suspect that the suspects for that are the rival gangs. Their enemies are responsible for that. Again, you can see that the survey rate is 58%. Yes, we find them and put them behind bars. We go above and beyond to convince the court that if these individuals is given bail, either gets killed or... See, again, we keep on going backwards. Backwards and backwards. So I understand the seriousness nature that many of the guys coming out of prison, you know, when they leave prison, and they go back in these communities and they get killed. All right? Now, when we're talking about holding these guys, you know, who probably are a threat to society and a threat to themselves because, you know, if they're charged for murder and they go in the streets, you know, they're a target. So I heard that the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Vian Monroe, stating that, you know, we need to try and see if we could pass legislation to see if we can enforce to keep those persons charged with serious crimes and feel that their lives threatened to keep them in jail. Well, as much as that sounds good for the benefit of all Bahamians, it would be against the Constitution, and those persons charged with serious offenses who are held because the Constitution states that they are entitled to bail, right? And even though it might save their life, the court or the government don't have the power to even consider such a thing. Because here's the thing. If everyone who were charged for murder were denied bail because their life would be threatened once they head back on the streets, what jail is going to be able to house these guys? All right? There are 1,700 people in prison, and the reason there are 1,700, not even those who are out on bail, that 1,700 in prison now, then we might have our next 30,000 people on bail right now. We might have a few hundred persons on bail for murder. We might have a few persons on bail for attempted murder or armed robbery. If each one of these guys, individuals, were held, the Bahamas Correctional Institute, they don't have the space to accommodate all of these inmates. It's impossible. It's impossible. And serious offenders persons given bail now is because the prison is already overfull. So if we have 100 people getting charged, just to explain it right, just say if we have already, I think the minister said, how much people are, I just read the Nassau Guardian, got killed? Hold on, let me see. 1 second. All right. 85 people already got killed this year so far. Okay? So, have you seen 85 persons get charged with murder this year? 85 murders happened this year. Persons in this country being charged with murder, because it's impossible to find out all the persons involved with this crime. So we might be able to get out of this 85 before the courts in this year alone. Then if you look at last year, persons who committed serious offenses, and it was around the COVID-19 time. So let's just say go back roughly a year and a half, 2 years before the COVID-19, and all those persons charged with murder. Some serious murders. And you wonder why they'd go to prison for 6 months, then they apply to the Supreme Court and get bail, right? Because it's their rights. But not only that, it's because the prison is overflowed with poison charged with serious crime, and the prison has to make space for the fresh poison who just getting charged with a murder. So the poison who get charged with a murder 6-7 months ago, they have to make sure they have him in the system, put his case in the system, right? And then have to deal with a fresh poison to go into prison. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a revolving door. So what the minister's suggestion and what the commissioner's suggestion is crazy, because the Minister of National Security is a lawyer, and he knows it's impossible to do such a thing. The Commissioner of Police, he has been one of the most outstanding investigators on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And he knows better. To talk about, you know, we go and we look for these guys, we find these guys, we charge them with murder, and we charge them with firearm, and then they're right back on the streets. You know why, sir? Just the system. Everyone is entitled to bail. If the Royal Bahamas Police Force was to do their proper investigation and make sure that they have all the witness, they have the fingerprints, they have the DNA tests, they have the camera pictures, eh? Then these cases wouldn't belong. You understand? So what we have to do as a country, we're going to have to invest in the communities. You know, the Prime Minister, he wants preventative measures. So over the course of the years, I've worked with numerous government on working with them to find ways and how we can work on preventative measures. As much as the Prime Minister mentioned this and he says he wanted to make this his number one priority, the Prime Minister does not have the time, right? As much as he care about this particular situation concerning 85 people are getting killed, and its increase in armed robbery in the country, the Prime Minister don't have the time. The Prime Minister's from one thing to the next thing. He was to the ceremony in Freeport. He was traveling the world. He had to help keep guys get contracts. He had to sign agreements. He had to go to CARICOM. He had to deal with the opposition. He had to sit in Parliament for hours. So why is he sitting in Parliament for hours? Hey, that is wasted time. All right? The Prime Minister is too busy. So we could forget about that. All right? As much as he care, the only way we're going to solve this is we empower community leaders, we get the church involved, and we find people who have great ideas, great programs, and see how we can push them, because the Prime Minister is too busy. Bottom line, this particular matter dealing with crime has to be consistent. It has to be something we're working on every day, and we are improving, we're getting people involved. You know, we just can't come talk this month, and then a different topic come up. Then when a little boy get killed or a little girl get killed in a scrape, a scrape is shot, Then we read back on this again. It's because the prime minister and administration, they don't have the time. So it's the community, it's the church, and it's the citizens who are going to have to make the difference in this one. That's who have to make the difference, all right? Because I'm going to tell you this again. The prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he means well, but he's too busy. You can forget about it. There are too much matters he have to deal with. And again, it's up to us as citizens, all right, to make this work. Yep, armed robberies are up 49%. Murders up by 21% so far in 2022. If you listen to the news, we'd hear from day to day where we'd have young men opening fire on the police every 2 weeks or so. What it tells you? It tells you how serious the criminality has spread, and young persons out there are not afraid to lose their lives because they're enraged. All right? We're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon, Spoochie. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
You're still keeping it strong and keeping it right, man. You ain't try to get 1 hour or 2 more.
You know,
you only get 1 hour in this run.
Hour and a half.
Oh, you got 3 hours then, because it's come on an hour and a half in the night. Boy, but they share funny inside that place to be waking though, because one, that probably getting got so funny. I listen to one show for 30 hours in a week, man.
Yeah. I understand.
No. Yeah, but I ain't knocking it. That's
no,
what
I understand.
You, I encourage you, man. You keep up the good waking up.
Yes, sir.
Hey, but Scrooge, you know what I mean? Like, as a citizen, right? I mean, like, I see where our country downfall is, right?
Yes, sir.
And I remember, because I've been here from before independence, you see what I'm saying? I got the British passport, too.
Yes.
But I can't even get my passport, you see? That's how bad it is for real indigenous people. They hear the word indigenous. They try to find all kinds of excuse. But I mean, it's so sad to know that we are such a young nation, and we have so many persons who are, I mean, I'm not going to say all black people, you know. But Bahamas ain't all but black.
No, it's not.
Bahamas about all of us who are here as humans.
Yes.
We ain't never supposed to be talking about no European and the past and this and that. We supposed to be trying to make the future better.
Yes.
And the present better.
I agree.
You see what I'm saying? But I see our downfall from the we were ushered into the proxy marriage of the Bahamas is a part of the Caribbean and CARICOM. Because, you know, I mean, from the time I see it, the people, they come here, right? And they come and they carry and come. You see, they don't bring nothing to the table. You see, because from the time I remember myself, there was always this envy of the Bahamas from people who in the Caribbean, all the Caribbeans are envious of the Bahamas. I lie, Scrooge?
No, you ain't lying, my brother.
All right. And all of them won't be here, right? And most of them won't be here, ain't want to assimilate when they come here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You want to be some other community? No, man. If you all have got to unite as a one.
One Bahamas.
No African. Because that's that they're divided.
No, we is one Bahamas.
Yeah, one Bahamian.
Yes.
And you know what? That asks you that. What is a Bahamian? I can tell you what. The one who asks you ain't a Bahamian. Because any Bahamian ain't asked that question.
You're so right.
Huh?
You're so right.
Hey, but Scrooge, you know what? I have this thing was going on now. This like going on 2 years, right?
What's that?
And I
what's that?
Man, I got one neighbor on the side of me, right?
Oh,
and let me tell you something. You know, when we call talks, we can't talk nothing like, but no kill nobody and all kind of wicked things or nothing like that on the radio, right?
Yeah.
You think it's right for anybody who is a part of IRCA, right? Under the last administration, right? To be saying that to you live in your face, huh? And all your family too. All right? Right?
I'm listening.
And you know what? Let me tell you something. It's like going 2 years, right? I try to reconcile enough time with this person, right? But you know what? I don't know if it's politics or what, right? But they feel larger than the law, every single thing you could imagine. Because guess what? If you say you could do something contrary to someone and they all their family, who they even know, all right? All right? And you will say that, and then you go, indoctrinate your children and people that, you know, oh, you know, he ain't talking to us. You know, there's something wrong with him. He's a devil. He looking right now. I ain't seeing on you. Hold on. If someone say you could wipe you and your family, you got anything to say to them? Hello?
I listening.
Do you, would you have anything to say to them? Good morning, good afternoon, good anything?
No, sir.
You wouldn't have nothing to say to them, right?
No.
But these people, right, they feel like they got a right every day to just harass. And guess what? I talk about stalking and all, okay? When they walk out the house, they got to walk out the house and they're like you're in the garbage. Walk out the house like you're going to start their car to walk up and down the road to see where he is.
Yeah,
that's stalking, right? Hello?
I listen to you.
Okay, and then you know what? Your next thing too, right? What is ache me too, right? And to know better, right? If you have a driver's license, right? You know better than parking on any curb, anything like 18 foot from the curb, you're wrong.
Yeah,
wrong or right?
You're right, you're right. You can't park on the edge of the curb.
Double parking, right? With impunity every single day, right? Would park and double park and then block me in. And I come up and say, Malik, you're blocking me. I come right back for 4 or 5 days doing the same thing to tell me, look here, who you is?
You got some serious issues with your neighbor.
I know violent person or nothing, right?
Yeah.
And I don't do no foolishness, but I hate when people, when you be decent, they just be stinking and what it just be. I'm talking about trying to be, I know, I'm talking about force me to talk with them and thing and thing like that. Huh? Me, I don't look for company and friends. I stay by myself. I'm with nobody. I'm obligated to speak to nobody. And especially if you tell me you could kill me and all my family.
Yeah, you should report the matter.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, did you report the matter to the police?
And you know what? I do reconcile this man enough time, right?
But I mean, when he threatened you, when he threatened you,
listen.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
And you know, because
hold on,
politics and this.
Hold on. Thanks a lot. Yeah, I was trying to tell you, say, since you got aggressive response when they threaten you, the best thing for you to do after he's trying to provoke you and you said he threatened you and said he threatened your hurt your family, you were supposed to report the matter to the police.
That's not you, Bob.
Yes.
Hold on, you know.
No.
Hold on.
See, I'm going to get too personal. See, the show today, you know, about talking, but you know what I mean? I was trying to, you know.
Made me, right?
Yeah.
If someone threatened your life,
report the matter to the police.
That's not you, Bob, right?
Mm.
But if a woman get raped a million years ago, she go before the court, and it's a case. Is someone a sexual organ greater than someone's life?
I guess,
am I wrong? What's going on?
I can't say. Yeah, you have some neighbors' problem. Like I said, you know, if the poison threaten you.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey.
And let me say something. They listen to me right now, too, right? Every time I go and talk, they listen, right? You know what?
Yes.
I mean, let me say something.
I have a next caller.
They're even blocking, putting chairs in the where's park and all kind of bull, right?
Yes, sir. Oh, who's to say we have to move on? Call, like I said, if someone threaten you and if they're trying to provoke you, and then your neighbor, like I said, you have to try to avoid altercation as best you can. Report the matter to the police. And then if that doesn't work, try to get a restraining order or et cetera. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Yes, sir. I could help you.
Could I ask you a question? Could I ask you how many times you have been in front of the magistrate court?
Me, I've been in front of the magistrate court probably in my lifetime, probably about 40-something time.
All right. I've been there about 6 times, right?
Uh-huh.
The reason I ask, right?
Uh-huh.
How many youths charged with minor crimes or even major crimes that you've seen in the magistrate court without representation by a lawyer?
Man, there's thousands, brother, buddy. Thousands out there.
So do you know that Article 20 guarantees representation of a lawyer?
Them kind of stuff.
Constitution of the Bahamas?
That don't mean nothing. There were them things that happen. The Constitution of the Bahamas doesn't mean nothing. Just like I tell you, you're supposed to get a phone call when the police, when you lock up in the station and you don't get it. So that don't need in the book. We don't apply those things.
Right. So see, and you don't mean you had this conversation before about about Yale being University of Crime, right? As well as the introduction to gangs. Because when you go in that jail, when you go in that jail, he has compelled to go in a gang right there in jail, right?
Well,
if you don't do so, what happens to him? He gets beat up.
In most cases.
Right.
It ain't really all about the gang, brother. You know, listen, it's teens, boys,
and
gangs.
It's
more teens and gangs, buddy.
Right.
It's more teens
and gangs.
They
get raping, Jalen.
You think the nigga raping you, think he in the gang? You think the nigga raping you in the gang?
Right.
You know who he into? He into himself. He's spending 40 years in there, and he ain't
right.
No gang. He ain't mess up anyone in the gang. He ain't mess up who in one order. He ain't mess up who else. He don't care. It is more and more voices.
Therefore, many of these youths go in jail, and without rights of freedom and according to Article 20 being violated, and some of them become murderers. Some of them, I'm sure you know some guys out there on the street like dirty and stink and begging. Some of them can handle the jail, and they're like.
Let's ask the listeners who are listening, who drive around their car. Ask them, they don't see these teens on the red light all about in the streets.
They believe these people just crazy like that.
No, jail send you crazy.
I'm telling them.
A lot of people losing their mind because of prison. And jail is also making a lot of people very, very brave and dangerous. Okay, very brave. Jail. What a name now? Modesty. What we call it now? Bahamas Correctional Institute. That there makes young men very, very dangerous.
You ever been to the jail workshop, carpentry workshop?
Now, me, I was very smart. I passed through.
So how many prisoners you see in that jailhouse have access to that thing, man? Ain't many, right?
Not many, man. It ain't what it seems, man. You know, it ain't what it seems. All right,
so schools, man.
It ain't what it seems.
Good. You see, people might don't want to hear this, but a man have a right to bail. When you didn't have a man in prison, I don't care what he is charged with.
He's entitled to bail.
He's entitled to bail.
Yes.
You see, as long, because you know, it ain't a man fault, it's a system fault that didn't carry him to trial in time.
In timely fashion. But not all the evidence and facts.
Right.
Yes.
So it's time our politicians stop talking, but they don't want to do a referendum. If they want to change the Constitution, go to the referendum. Stop trying to go to some white men in the Privy Council, because they can't change the Constitution.
No. Parliament. Only Parliament can change it.
Man, I tired of coming on the radio, right?
I tired myself.
Because I ain't supporting the status quo. They cut me off. They don't want to hear me.
Yeah.
When I tell them, for instance, watch me. When I tell them that man Junkuno is good, right? But Junkuno producing a whole lot of brass players and who they not in developing to the next level.
Yeah.
To really help us. They all they doing is using them in Junkuno. You ever see them in a stage band? They ain't doing no stage band. They same thousands of kids playing brass music. They ain't no band.
No.
Only Junkuno band.
Wow, it's crazy.
Anyway, thanks, man.
No problem. I just want to say this, you know, from me to those who are listening. You see, when we listen to the news, right, and you can see a small portion of people are doing a crime in the country. But listen to the news every week or so. You would always hear, well, a shooting suspect is chased by a patrol car and exchanges gunfire with the police. How regular do you hear that? We hear that like twice a month. Do you know how serious that is for a young man to be exchanging gunfire with the police? But think about this. You're hearing this twice every month. But it's not the same person. This person is put before the court and sent to jail. Right? And they're shooting at the police. Then we listen again. We hear it again. And again. And it's the next young man. Next set of young man. Right? So it tells you that if you don't do preventative measures in this country, we're going to be having innocent kids getting killed from a stray gunshot that was not meant for them. That was meant for a young man who himself just came out of prison or involved in some kind of argument or have a turf war, you know, could steal someone's gun, could shoot someone's brother, could beat up someone's sister, whatever the situation is. You know, it's crazy. So my suggestion for the Honorable Brigadiers, and I know you don't have the time, I work on many different strategy programs, and I'm going to say this. These are some things I would recommend. First thing I would recommend, sir, is to introduce local government. Because you and your administration, y'all don't have the time. Y'all are dealing with international matters. Then y'all dealing with internal matters. And y'all dealing with opposition. And 4 to 5 years is time consuming, and you're not going to have time to do these different initiatives. So I would recommend to the Davis administration to implement local government. Local government, in turn, can have persons who have ideas and community programs, can deal with the internal issues of the community. We would be able to do the necessary things, provide the adequate technology. You know, for instance, if we have a small business program, where you have to go sign up with local government, we can build our office and have this program available at the doorsteps of the resident of that particular community to come and assist them on helping them start a small business. If there's a housing program going on in the country and residents of the community would like an opportunity to apply for one of those low-cost homes that government is providing, we can set up an office where we have the information available. We could have garbage collection on time by understanding that we need our own personal garbage truck to be in this particular area. We could have information available to BPL, all this stuff. So local government is one of the initiatives that we can use. It also could establish us to find out information from community residents who loved ones who are in prison, coming out of prison, so that we could help them ahead of time to see if we could try and prevent some of the conflict that would come with this person coming back in the community. And we could get the church involved to help this young man, person and find out who they probably are having a quarrel with. And then we can work together because the information will be coming in because we'd be aboard. You never know how it could, what it can turn into. So local government is the key, okay? Again, small businesses is the key. Let me see. You also can, all right. Sorry, people. We also can, all right. Sorry, yeah. I recommend our local government. I would also recommend neighborhood policing. That's essential. It's crime prevention. We need the neighborhood policing system to be introduced in the inner city community. This is where we can have the police helping out the neighborhood residents along with local government, finding out, you know, what is happening with the community, who is coming out of prison, you know. See, because we don't keep track of persons coming out of prison and going back in these communities. So if we could establish a local government, an institute, along with social service, the Royal Bahamas Police Force, and community leaders, to find out who all being released from prison, and when they're coming in the community, we could find out how we can help these young men and find ways by talking to them and say, look here, if you have a conflict with somebody, you know, and your life is threatened, you know, we build a relationship, find out information, we relay this information on to the police, we find out who the next person in the next particular community who this young man gave his name because he built trust with him, and we would be able to work with the pastor in that community with this next young man who have a problem with the same young man who's released from prison to find out where he live in the community. We'd let the police along with the local pastor and the community leader to find this residence. Find his residence, and once you find his residence, you meet with his mom, where he stays, and you find out some information, then you get to meet him. And then you use this opportunity to say to him, you know, we're going to assist you the best way possible. We hear you have a conflict with a young man. We'd like to see how we could get you two guys together to see if we can bring some dialogue where you guys could get along and try to see if y'all could forgive one another, you know? And that's the kind of stuff we're going to have to do if we want to be preventative. So if the Prime Minister wants to talk preventative, then this is what we're going to have to do. We just can't let a young man come out of prison who come back on the streets, you know? Yeah. So like I say, local government, community policing, we need a neighborhoods cleanup with the Ministry of Environment. Yep. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take this call, and I'm going to get back to my topic. I want to talk about the drownings. So go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside In City. Valentino. Hey, yes, sir. You bit the minutes on my phone. Hey, hold on. You can't call on the phone. Cut that one. Yeah. It's crazy. What time it is now? All right, 7:18. Yeah. So, just recently, we've had a lot of drownings in the country. And over the course of this show, if you listen to the show, I would always tell you the kids are roaming the streets till around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. Where are their parents? I would always say this on this show. Okay? It's no different than when you go on the beach. It seems today that parents nowadays most parents don't keep track of their children. For those who are listening, if you don't agree with me, ride around in this inner city community right now, in your car. Anyone who's listening to this show right now, any politician, any pastor, any concerned citizen who are on the streets driving right now, ride to the inner city community and see if you don't see a bunch of kids without no leadership hanging up on the street corners. These same kids, without their parents' consent, at the age of 7, 8, 9, and 10, would live out of the community and walk straight on the beach. And they would be out there skylarking on the beach. Many of them can't even swim. So my suggestions to the government and those who are listening and might could give this input, there should be regulation on the beach that no kid under the age of 18 should be allowed to be on the beach. As simple as that, unless they're accompanied by a guardian or a parent. Simple as that. Swimming should be mandatory in all government high school, all junior high school, and all primary high school. We are a country with 700 islands, 700 keys, okay? And we have no regulation, and we don't teach our kids to swim. We are an island surrounded by sea. So I'd like, for those who are listening and those powers to be, make recommendation that no kid, unless accompanied by a parent or guardian, be allowed on our beaches. If you go on the beaches throughout the day, when it's the summer, you would see hundreds of kids out there, and many of them don't be accompanied by an adult or a guardian. They just live from these neighborhoods and they do what they want to do. So we're going to have to step up. You know, we need a police present along with what we just call them now, guys who's washed the sea, wash the water, to be out on the beach, to find out the age of the kids coming on the beach. And if they're not accompanied, by an adult, we need to send them back home. This is not breaking the Constitution. It's the fact that many of our kids can't swim, and they are unaccompanied by other adults, and they be skylarking. You know, there are no mothers, no daddies, so they're no uncles, no aunts. Just kids, 10 and 20 of them, 30 kids, different ages, would be walking and going on the beach. I know many of you who are listening to the show now, you see this with your own eyes. You know, we just had a young kid found, I don't know what the autopsy is going to say, but it seems to me that he could have drowned. And his parents didn't come to identify him for like over 24 hours. I tell you, the parents, they love the kids, they care for the kids, but they don't have no time for the kids. And you can imagine, you as a mother, your child has not come home for a whole full day. You have not reported to the police. Hey? It seems that you were not concerned. Hey? Now she's being charged before the court. And guess what? This is just the tip of the iceberg what goes on. If you know how many parents right now in this country, a lot don't even check for their kids from morning to night. The kids are just out the house and walking around the streets doing what they want to do, boys and girls. There are little girls out there would see a big man and ask him for a dollar. Little girls, you walking in the road. Me, I walk in, and I'm a decent human being. But I'm saying to you, when I'm walking to my neighborhood, you know how much little girls ask me for a dollar? So what if I was a pedophile or a rapist or a bungy bandit? Remember what I said earlier in the show? When my mom and dad ain't planning for me. Many of out there, or us out here, having children, after children. But we are not responsible parents. And we're leaving our children out here to perish and die. And we should be ashamed. When you're a parent, it ain't about you no more. It's about that child. And many of us today living in this country are responsible for what happened to our children today. Because many of us are going to this nightclub, we see this guy or we see this girl, boy, like that. And put something on that. And you go put something on it, and you probably need it. And you leave this child to suffer. You know? Look around your streets and I saw people. Children are roaming around the streets. Where are their parents? So this lady who get in charge because her son was found deceased by the sports center park. But there are many parents who are irresponsible in this country today who go out at night and leave their kids home. They have the oldest kid, the 10, 12-year-old girl or 12-year-old boy, to mind their children. Why they go partying? They're gonna put on their makeup and their fingernails, and they're gonna party, and they're gonna let their oldest child, and they make these children who they leave to be responsible for their children, and these children become earlier adults. So what kind of example we set? We're gonna take this last call. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, Scrooge. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir.
And what you were saying, Scrooge, is so correct. Everything starts from the home. The home is the breeding ground. I had my mother. I didn't really have a dad. But I had uncles and I had grandfathers.
Yes, sir.
A grandfather to raise me, taught me everything I knew. And for today, that parent isn't there. And like you said, it seems like they just don't care anymore. And so the home, it starts from the heart of man, because the Bible said, God said, the man heart is desperately wicked, deceitful. And then if the home doesn't teach values and morals, and then they see their parents doing unto other things, they can follow because they only mimicking what they see their parents do.
Yes, sir.
And so if you don't be that example, like, you know, the old saying, monkey see, monkey do.
Yes, sir.
They can follow you, whatever you're doing, thinking is right, because they see the adults are doing it. You cursing in front of your children, all kinds of things.
Sir.
And then when they curse, you cursing at the blankety, 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 blankety. And you want to discipline your children.
Yes, sir.
But you cursing, you smoking, you drinking,
yes,
you're doing things.
Yes, sir.
You're dressing like a whore in front
yes,
of your
sir.
Daughter.
Yes, sir.
So what you expect your daughter to do? It starts from the cradle.
Yes.
Or they'll sit them down in front of the television with the most vilest language and profanity and everything. And they say, oh, my daughter, because this, oh, my son, that's what you did. You sit them down, let the television be the babysitter.
Yes.
Talking about the lifeguard, and I think you were talking about... You're looking at beach warden.
Yes, one, beach warden, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. They, you know, but you have a bunch of retired Defense Force officers. They
mm-hmm.
could recruit them and...
Yes, makes sense.
And make them, you know, to
yes.
be lifeguard.
Yes,
they
makes
sense. They retire now, but they could swim.
Yes, yes.
They know how to do life rescuing.
Yes.
Because, like you said, sometimes you go to the beach... 6, 7 years, 8 years, and the parents nowhere in sight.
Nowhere in sight, sir. Nowhere.
Nowhere in sight.
Nowhere.
Another thing, Scrooge, I just wanted to say this, and
what?
I give God thanks and praise for his goodness and mercy towards me. But 2 weeks ago, Saturday, I was held up with a .45.
Wow.
So. At the fish fry. Not exactly, but it's across from the fish fry. You know where that... food stand is.
Yeah, I had a feeling she was going to say that. I had a feeling she was right under the sea grape tree.
Yeah, about 40 feet from there.
Yeah.
It started to rain. My wife said, go get the umbrella. So I got the umbrella out of the car. And then I raised up. Two guys rock up on me and say, hey, listen here, you want to die here tonight? You want to die here tonight? Get in this car and give me this keys for this car. I'm not joking. Get in this car. I had my wife key in my hand.
Yes,
and
sir.
So I literally... drop it on the ground. They didn't see, then I drop it. And I had my truck key over my head on a string.
Yes,
so
sir.
I took that off. I say, man, here, see the key for the car, man. He said, this ain't the key. I say, man, listen, man, this the key for the car. So the fella with the gun, he took the key from me, and he went into the car. The other guy who had me still screw up on the outside, when I saw the guy went in, I say, this is my time now to get away.
Yes,
so
sir.
I push him off. And I ran.
Good for you. Good for you.
And I went to the police station. When I came back, the white key still was on the ground. My phone still was on the ground. And the truck key that I gave him when you tried to start the car with was still on the car seat. So they took off.
You think. You would slick them.
what, guess what, Stuart?
Yes, sir.
People were passing at the same time about maybe 15 feet, 10 feet from me. But see, they didn't know what was going on because they had me... close to the car, screw up, so they just thought we were conversating.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't want to shout out and say, hey, this guy get gunned off.
Yeah, yeah, he might have shoot you.
He might have shoot me or shoot somebody else.
Yes, sir.
And when I said, what I give God thanks for,
yes, sir.
My daughter was coming with me to the car.
Whoa.
But I say, no, you stay.
Wow, you could have feel something, eh?
I say, no, you stay. I can get the key out of the car. So what I'm saying,
yes.
I give God all the
yes,
praise,
sir,
all
yes,
the
sir.
Glory, and all the honor, because that's not the first time. About 28 years ago, I got hold up with a .45 again.
So you see, this is it's the same occurrence over and over. And
so
this is a different set of guys now. 28 years. So you see,
Stuart, you know what I was going to ask you when you were growing up, because I know you were in gangs and everything. I think the gangs back then were more. They never the target. Innocent people, death.
No, no, sir.
Random.
No, sir. We never target innocent people. It had to be someone who did
or
something.
Children, or I think you never go in the neighborhood and just spray.
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. We never believe in that. We never believe in that.
That's something I was supposed to ask you from that time.
No, we never
you
did
know,
that.
They, but now, these guys, big, broad, they and they don't care who they hit.
Nobody. They
and
don't
then
care.
Another thing, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
I hear them talking about the gun, trying to enforce more stiffer penalty. But I always say, if you get catch with AK-47, you're supposed to get 40 years off the top. Every bullet in magazine, you
yes,
can
sir.
Get another 5. That's just for having it. But
yes,
if
sir.
You discharge that weapon, because that's a weapon of war, you can get another 5 years added to it. You need to send a message to these young people that if you get catch with the AK-47 or 9 or 45 or Glock, hey, there can be some stiff penalty. Out of 100 people who may think about it, they can say, hold on. I mean, this can be the punishment for me if I get catch with a gun. So out of that 100, maybe 60 or 70 say, I ain't going that route.
Yeah.
But if the penalty doesn't fit the crime, they say, man, I could get 4 years for a gun. That don't mean nothing to me. But then you can talk about 30, 20, 40 years in jail for having a weapon. A lot of them can think first before they pick up that weapon. Because you see the young guys today, they done got their hand like a gun pointed at you shooting.
Yes, yes.
So Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Where are we don't manufacture it. We don't grow it. They're not dropping from the sky, and they're not coming from the plane. We have a lot of open borders here. We got a lot of ports here that the boats and the yachts can come right up to their house. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. That's what's going on, sir.
And that's what's that's
if you're
how
a citizen,
guns are getting. Bimini.
Yes, sir.
Junior Stoneway, Abaco.
Yes.
So they make their deals, and then once they make the deal, they don't send it on the plane. You
send
check the mail boat. I think they're sending from once they get the Bimini or Abaco or whatever, they come on the mail boat. I told a couple of top-notch cops this. I said, you all need to check these mail boats when they're coming from these different islands. You got the sniffing dog, you got detectives that you can go and check down in the cargo hold and everything.
Yes.
And I believe that's how the guns are getting here. They're not coming on no airplanes. They're coming to the seaport.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay, Scrooge.
Yes, sir. You did such a wonderful job. Made so many good comments. Thank you very much. Yes, and you know, when you're talking about guns, guns is big business in the country. And how gun get big business in the country was back many years ago. We went after the top drug dealers like Simon 90 Knowles and what the guy named now, Ozzy Knowles, and all those big time guys. And when the police was successful in getting these guys before the courts, getting conviction. And when 90 went off to seeing the United States of America to face prosecution, Ozzy Knowles and a few others who were, at that time, who were considered the top drug dealers in the country. They were behemoths. And they get knocked out by law enforcement agencies here in the Bahamas and also in the U.S., the FBI. We saw where many poisons went to buying guns from Florida and getting them shipped over here because, you know, a gun in the States probably run into about $300, $350, $400 on the streets. If you get it in Arsenal Providence, like a 40 handgun or a 4 or 5 handgun with extended clip, if you could get it here in one piece, you could get up anywhere from $1,500. If you could get an assault rifle in, and we're seeing an abundance of those assault rifles coming in the country and using on the streets in Arsenal Providence, you could get anywhere AK-47 from $2,500 to $3,500. AR-15, if they're available, they're really hard to get, but most people get them from the U.S., you know? So, yes, it's big business. Firearms are big business. Get them here from the U.S., here retail in the country is $1,500 a pop. AK-47, like I said, could go anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500. A box of shots, 9mm 40, goes anywhere from $150 to $200 range. So even the bullets are a big business in the country. You know, so there's a lot, you know, we have to do in the country. But preventative measures, we're going to empower the community. We're going to make sure that small business is available for those who are committed. We're going to have to find, get an unemployment down in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We're going to have to clean up the communities and find ways how we can bring small trades in the inner city community. We have to find ways to better equip the Bahamas Correctional Center for repeated offenders. As we can see, we heard the report from the Minister of National Security and the police commissioner. He's stating that
He's stating y'all. He said, a normal young man who are being killed just after they're released from prison. He said that it's what 55% of them were on bail and they got killed. So that means if they're in prison and then they get released back on the streets, that means the streets are very dangerous. Hey? And the prison makes it even worse. All right, so you see the problem? 55% of those coming out are killed. You know? All right. Or I said more, 85 people who were killed. Out of that, 55% were out on bail. All right, so that's crazy. So it shows you, you know, we have to empower the community. We have to provide housing, local government, have the church involved, small business. We develop the inner city communities with community centers, empowering community leaders, finding ways to create small businesses in the inner city community. You know, make sure that the parks are utilized year-round for sports activities so we can get as much scholarship as possible and keep the area positive with positive programs going on in these inner city parks year-round. Okay, we're going to take this last call.
Evening, Squizzy.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I think he was given a little chronology on how the chat and the prison.
Of course.
The situation that happened outside. But yeah. Police, right?
That's what I said.
He was in the city. Yeah, you gave a whole concept of what that's all about, right?
Yes.
And so, and listening to you every week, right, Scoozy? You're so correct because I think of an overall collective neglect of the Bahamian people, especially in the city. I look at, you know, I traverse. You know, I used to run the steps a lot, so I traverse Marcus Street, East Street a lot. And you know, I used to travel those roads as a young man and walk. I used to be a salesman and all, right? And I used to go door-to-door to people. And you know, those buildings, schools, you know, they never used to look like that, man, Scoochie, man. You see how dilapidated they are, how inglorious they look. Go from the corner of Mason Addition, Southwoods, and look at all those buildings, man, Scoochie. Look at Marcus Street and East Street. And these MPs in these areas. And some of these buildings are worth being restored, you know. And so it's an inglorious spirit moving through right now. And you see the neglect with the hospital, the school system, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
And, you know, brother man, oh, God. Scusi, listen to me.
Hey.
Inside the inner city, right? Let me show you something. Guess what? You know just about everybody near my calling radio, you know them or I know them, right?
Yeah, of course.
So I don't know me come in, you don't know one another. But, you know, listen, man. The inner city, Scusi, so much youth them. I don't know what to call it, disenfranchised. I don't know what's going on, but here's what I observe. You know, man, Scusi, they drop out of school, a lot of them. The high drop, they do a demographics.
Just say this. Ain't nothing happening for the youth in the inner city. The inner city is unfit. The inner city is unfit for kids and teenagers to have a future in. That's what you're going to need to say. It's unfit.
But Scusi, what I was trying to show you the whole point, I was trying to do a little quick humanized chronology, all right?
All right.
The youth them drop out of school. A fool, right?
Mm-hmm.
They hit the streets. And, you know, whether it's Asian Bahamian or Bahamian,
it don't matter.
Bahamian, you get in tools and you get engrossed into this BS, right? This type of paradigm where, you know, you could get addicted to these things. Robbing, you know, whatever, is getting used to getting up on the blocks every morning. The little young cats just put the MD Hennessy bottle on the cesspit and say, someone didn't drink. And then they don't learn the trade. That's what I'm saying. So we have to find a way to get the trade into the youth center in the city because them not learning the trade, then they turn around and watch other people in the area who are making money and doing things, and then they house break and they
do
different things.
Just target the man by fish fry. You hear the man talk about it by fish fry?
That's
the consequences we face.
He mentioned it on one, I think, before, but listen to me. When he said it, right? You listening?
I'm listening.
My mind going straight on the spot where he say, because that's so unlit. And so you could camouflage, you know what I mean? Because back in the days, you'd stop over there and smoke your joint before you walk over. So you tell me now the police couldn't be in there, Scusi. They supposed to do some kind of do something to deter the criminals them from being in these type of areas.
And listen to this, they had
the beach parking lot is the same thing.
And they just had a few armed robberies to the same spot right there by fish ride across the parking lot.
So they should at least
So police supposed to be there patrolling that until fish fry over.
I mean, you know, they have designated shooters on the force, man. Come on, man. Because from them time, from the name, why would we have, you know, we all know all the famous CID from East Little Youth, them.
Yeah, man.
Telling them. But anyhow, man, Scoochie, we got to find something to do there in the city. I'm telling you, it's like a doomsday thing here. You got a bunch of zombies running around, right?
No future.
Mindless, tradeless, and they mad.
Yep.
And they don't want to give you no license to protect yourself. So you see what's going on right now, right?
Yeah.
You already explained the paradigm. So, you know, it's tit for tat and cha-cha-chatty. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Mouth of Marcy. Give thanks, brother. Bless him. Yeah,
no problem. So when the Prime Minister, the Honorable Brave Dale, said we need to find a root cause, I didn't give you guys the root cause, all right? And that is the root cause. All right? There ain't no other root cause in the country, all right? We had a drug epidemic problem, early 70s, 80s, all right? Family structure was destroyed by alcohol, crack cocaine and marijuana, and the rest was destroyed by politics, PLP and FNM, all right? And now we're picking up the pickings, all right? Because we put our priorities in the political party. There's nothing wrong with that, but at the end of the day, we have a country to save, and we need all hands on deck. We need these guys who are street captains for these political parties who have been going around campaigning, speaking for these, what you call them, candidates, so they can be elected to be a representative of a constituency, whether it's Cat Island, Grandstand, Fox Hill, right? These street captains or leaders of these particular party are entitled to get contracts, right? So they persuade the neighborhood residents to vote for the party, PLP and FNM. So the PLP have won the general election. We have street captains and leaders of these particular communities who say, you know, they represent the people. Now, they've done their job of going out there to get people to vote. Now, in return, the same people who they get to vote for the particular party, they need to help these people. So you guys need to, when you get your contracts, you need to go back in this community, find all these old houses in these communities that you guys reside in. You guys were walking around with the now MP, but he was a representative for the Progressive Liberal Party, right? You were walking around with him. This is to no one in particular. This is to all street captains or street generals, right, who walk with candidates in the last general election. Now you're being successful. In these areas, you all know the problems. There are old people in these communities who, you know, out of work, need help, need the light to get turned on, need a roof to get repaired. There are yards that need to be cleared down and removed because it's quite filthy for the community, because cleanliness is next to godliness. So you guys need to be the eyes and ears of the party, because Brave Davis has his hands full. And Mr. Prime Minister, these contracts you're giving to these street generals and people who are so deserving of it, you just can't just be giving them contracts and they live in this community and they say they speaking on the community people's behalf and they're doing nothing but taking the contract money and putting it in their pocket. Why it's the same people who they persuade to vote in the general election gets nothing, and it makes it hard as you, as the Prime Minister, to be reelected, because the street generals and people who you give the contract to, the people who were walking around with all these candidates who are now elected as the next minister of Bantan or Fox Hill or Camp Road or Elizabeth Estate, right? Their job now. See, this can't be the old politics thing no more. Mr. Brave Davis, your hands are full. All right? You need these street captains to go in these communities. Find community leaders. If they're not the community leader, find community leaders in these areas and look and find all these old houses that house needs to get repaired. Doors need to be put on. Yards need to be cleaned. Small business can be established in this community. We need these guys to be working. We need them to be working. You know, let them work for their money that they're receiving from the government. Let them help these people who they persuaded to vote for the government up to date. So all you community leaders who get these nice contracts, y'all need to get put to work, because it's in y'all hands now if y'all want the Honorable Brave Davis to repeat. And if you guys want to still be getting some of the cookie jar, then you guys better go in these communities y'all reside in. And y'all go and find these people. There's back to school going on. You guys get together and do some back to schools. Take the pressure off the prime minister and the government. Right? Get together and do something useful with the taxpayers' money. You know? Do something useful. So all you guys who get these contracts, you go back in your respective community and you all go help people and stop putting all the contract money in y'all pockets. Because it ain't just for y'all. You know, because it's going to come a time again when it's going to be election and you're going right back to the same people. And these people, you know how we go every 5 years. If you ain't doing anything for them, they ain't going to listen to you next time. All right? We're going to take this last call. We're going to take this last call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Valentino.
Hey, listen now. Listen, stop. Call. All right. Yeah. That's what about general public, you know. And let me tell you what I'm saying about seriousness and why some of these young men are so serious about you. I'm going to just talk about me real quick and give you a prime example. And I'm going to end on this. You wonder why you would see guys shooting at the police and what would propel them to shoot at the police. Here's why. The guy shooting at the police probably has been in a lot of shootouts. All right? And probably has been in and out of jail from the age of 15, 16, 17. Probably has a father figure or mother figure. All right? Grow up real, real hot. You know? And all he believe in is to be an opportunist. Opportunist is the gentleman just calling and said, you know, two young men put a 4 or 5 on him. Honestly, you don't want none of these young men who are being in all those shootouts, who are either armed robber or a former gang leader or someone who just are opportunists to have you at gunpoint. You know, I am so thankful to the gentleman that God intervened and tell him, don't let his daughter go to the car, because it could have been a whole different situation if his daughter went to the car. It could have gone from him getting a gun pulled on to the fact that these two young men would decide to rape the girl. And then the father was not going to allow that. He's going to put up a fight. Because he's not going to allow someone. He could be the scariest man in the world, but he's not going to stand up there and allow someone to hurt his daughter or to try to rape his daughter in front of him. All right? And that's how serious it is. He said twice he was robbed at gunpoint. 28 years ago and now today. So you see what I'm saying? It's a cycle of just different people. But same mentality. 28 years ago, these two young men wasn't probably even born. But that has been passed on to them because that's what passed on to individuals when there's no development in this inner city community. All right? These communities are not livable. And let me just go back to me real quick. When I tell y'all, say, I get shot at 23 times, right? 23 times, like I all said, means as bad as I was, right? 23 different guys thinking just like me, hey, who are just like me, came after me because I did something to them or to their friends, and they come back to retaliate. So we shoot one of their friends Monday night. Now we're going to the club probably Wednesday or Thursday or Friday night. Our enemy know that we're going to the club Thursday or Friday night. So they're going to stake out across the road from the club whilst we go partying. We partying, chilling out because we feel good that we just shoot somebody or we kill somebody or we hurt somebody. So we feel good with ourselves. Then these guys, them, now we the prey. You understand? And now these guys come and they do their shooting. They probably kill one of us or injure one of us. You see, so I've gone through that 23 different times. On 3 different occasions, I had one occasion I had exchanged a gunfire with police.
me and my friend Nelson Cooper. He's deceased now. College Reed used to have a basketball tournament for him. He was one of the leaders. He used to like turn in charge of the Border Boys. We had a bunch of leaders, you know, but we had like our number one, number two, number three, and number four, number five guy. And I was like me, Chucky, Nelson, Bummer, Sharky, and then Mushi came in there. You know? So I was very tough, you know. You know, to get shoot at 23 times. And like I said, me and my friend Nelson Cooper, he's now deceased. College Reed stole the basketball tournament from him. And we had a shootout with the police. And we're talking with the host of Payne Police Bus. So for you guys who were there, it was serious back in the days. And me and Nelson Cooper, he's deceased. And Shockey, Don Pratt, he's deceased. Mario Seymour still is living. And we were having a war with two big drug dealers, Stinky and Robert. And we went through there. And we had a exchange of gunfire. Me and Nelson had two 12-gauge shotgun. And we only but 17, 18, 19. And we had a big shootout with Stinky them. They had probably a shotgun in the 38. And as we run through the shortcut, we bugged the police bus. And the police opened fire on us. And we turned in, running away from the police. We opened fire also. And this is like 25 years ago. So, young man like us, we were just tough. All right? I have a three altercation where the police tried to, three times the police tried to kill me. 23 times where guys like Marvin Bodie, Franz Pascal, what's his name now? Arlington Butler, he's deceased. We have Rebellion. We used to call him Rebellion. He's a Mason guy. He used to be in Marvin Bodie. He tried to shoot me. I got shot. I don't really call this shoot because, you know, I got hit with Pelex from Mali twice on East Street. Mali is one of the leaders of the Raiders. I got hit with a lot of Pelex. I still get Pelex inside me. I must see that, but 300 Pelex inside of me when I got shot on East Street. Let me see who else tried to kill me. But 23 different poisons, you know. I had some gun dogs, guys shoot at me, they killed my friend Keenan Roberts. I had Bido, he's the uncle of Tom Tom Nan. And Jaquan Nan, he was one of the leaders of Gun Dogs. He shot at me and shoot my friend Terry Marshall. My friend Sidney Thompson, he is the nephew of Mr. Thompson, who normally talked about the Constitution. Sidney Thompson was shot twice on the side of me because guys were trying to shoot me. Let me see who else got shot on the side of me. My friend JP, he just got killed in Freeport. About 3 months ago, he got shot in the side of me. Some guys were trying to shoot me, and they shot him. Let me see. Saad Tiger, we got shot at in Bantan. Some gun dog guys shot at me, and they shoot Tiger. We call him Rodney Sinclair. His name is Tiger. And he called on the show a few months ago when he verified the fact that that he got shot in the side of me. He wanted the general public to know that he got shot in the side of me. All right? Stanley and Shay. Shay is dead. Stanley still is living. They opened fire on me. Marvin Bodie and Arlington Butler, two of them run at me with 2.45. 4.5 running time was carrying 12 shots. We had an exchange of gunfire with Marvin Bodie and Arlington Butler. They run me straight in my friend Bummer house. So, and they changed clip on me. Man, it's crazy. Now, like I tell you, you know, that's some of the young men we're dealing with in this country. All right? And this was going on in this country. You all hearing me? And these guys who I'm talking about are serious, were serious gangsters. Some were serious armed robbers, you know. And nothing has changed. Many of them, the guys back in the day have died out. But it's being passed on to the next generation. That's what we're seeing now. You know, I don't know how I'm living today. Kelsey Lundy shot at me on Market Street. That's alias Scrooge. He's the original Scrooge. Like I say, Franz Pascal, second in charge of rebellions at that particular time. Franz shot at me. He had a 9mm. He fired 15 shots at me. He missed me. And he shoot my friend Al. And he shoot my friend, he shoot Al in his leg, trying to get me. And then he shoot my cousin Chicken in his back, Mario Seymour. He works with Roden Park now. You know, so it's crazy. You know, it's crazy. It was crazy. It's just crazy. I just don't know how I was able to live. You know. Yeah, it was crazy. I've been through all that and I still here. So I want to say to all the young guys out there, I was fortunate to make it through. I was fortunate now, after my last encounter and most lost my life, I understand that I have a greater purpose. And I started to change the way I think and wanted to have a future. So I want to encourage you guys out there, you know, to try your best to avoid altercation. Don't fall in the gang life. Stay away from negative thinking people, you know. Stay focused. Try to go to school, learn your education, and try to be a business owner. For those in prison, you can see it ain't working for you guys. When you come out of prison and you come back on the streets, you're seeing the results, all right? And that is death. So use prison as an example that when you get back on the streets, that you try to become a productive citizen and try to go the right path and have the right mindset. All those guys I call, who I talked about, who shoot at me, some are living, many are dead. You could ask them personally, because I don't lie. Everything I say that comes with my mouth is the truth. Because there's no reason for me to lie. All right? We just complete. We have one more minute. So I just want to close it on this. Those young men who you see occasionally every 2 weeks shooting at the police, that's just us being reincarnated. And we have to change that. All right? So the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis, you want to provide preventative measures. You're going to have to invest in the community with community programs. And you're going to have to invest in the prison. But your main focus is on housing, small business, community centers, and how you can bring down the unemployment rate in the country. You know, and that's all you can do. And let everything else fall in place, sir. Everything else fall in place. The rest is on the parents. Parents, stop leaving your older children to watch your responsibility. Fathers, mothers, plan your future for your children. Don't go out there partying and having sex and making unwanted kids and don't have no plan for them. And you're leaving me to suffer the cause problems for the rest of us. When you have these children, you have to have a plan. All right? So I hope you enjoyed the show. And we'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City.
Bro, boy, I from Midtown, bro. Right between rest.